The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Jefferson State.
It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life.
Settles in your soul.
The soul of Jefferson.
Mama J.
Yes.
Is the soul of Jefferson.
I am. I'm an old soul, too.
No, not in Janet years.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler.
And Wynn Carpenter. Good morning.
And we are here with Jefferson State of Mind.
Mind.
I think. Also with Alex. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing good. You're enthusiastic.
Well, you know, it was a good week this week. I mean, stuff happened, and the world's a little better place, I think.
Unless you're in Minneapolis, right?
Oh, yeah. Huh? Well, California's next, according to Trump.
You know? Bring it on.
I loved Newsom's appearance in Davos. That was the best comedy show going.
Did you hear the sugar daddy comment?
Yes.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up, folks. Anyway, we are broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR Studios.
We're not political.
96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, we are your talk radio. And we are streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever. You can go back and listen to us forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
So,
somebody ought to write a song.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
No, forever and ever, amen.
So, anyway, guys, we're here today doing battle in the free state of Shasta, where we need to be. Ring the bell.
Yeah.
We'll ring the bell here today. We're kind of tired of all the crap that's going on. We're tired of watching supervisor meetings where there isn't anybody, I don't think, that's not mad at that board. I think that everybody in the county is mad at the board.
For one reason
either
or another.
Either the right or left or middle or whatever. We are looking at a situation here now where we need to be pulling together, not pulling apart. And, you know, one of the things I think that, you know, is bothering me is some of the things that are going on even here in Shasta County. I can't warm up to those cameras that they spent $500,000 on. It was supposed to, I believe, go, was that to the Zog Fire people? Is that where they got that money from?
I did not
hear. Oh, really?
Yeah. They got it from somewhere.
Oh, that sounds like
I heard it was got Zog Fire. I could be wrong. And if you have a question or a comment, you can call and crab all you want today, because today is National Crab Day.
Sounds like
proclaimed here in the state of Jefferson, National Crab Day.
Big Brother is watching you.
You think?
Oh, maybe we should audit that purchase and audit the money for that. Oh,
like a forensic audit.
Like I've been saying for how many years? A forensic audit.
Amen to that.
Every department.
Hear the siren out there,
Wynn? Just get it done.
Uh-oh.
Yep, they're going to go put a fire out or something or answer a call somewhere.
Anyway, you can call in at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Now, Lori Bridgeford, I know, had some interesting things she was putting out about some, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you see these conspiracy theories. It's like, think of all the conspiracy theories that were out there 20 years ago, and think of how many of those have come true.
They've been proven, yes.
Yeah. They have to come up with some new ones because all the old ones are now true.
Well, I'm telling you, you know, that's the thing. I mean, can you really trust your government with anything? I mean,
and we're not supposed to.
No. We're not. That's right. Well, you know, I heard a guy on another radio program yesterday. And he was talking, he was from New California, and he was talking about how, you know, he, about the Whig Party, and he was going to give a lesson on the Whig Party. And then, you know, we really are we the people. Did you know that? We are we the people. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Yeah, we are. We're we the people. And the thing is that, you know, once CalPERS runs out of money and everybody goes bankrupt, we're just going to emerge, you know, with pitchforks on the steps of the Capitol in California. Well, how ridiculous is that?
We already tried it.
You
didn't
think?
Work.
January 6th, you know? And I mean, think about this. I mean, this isn't where we were 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Where we are now is that if you have 10,000 people out there, you can bet your booties that 200 are infiltrators, and 200 of those people will disrupt and try to be one of us, and therefore we'll all get in trouble because of that. And can you say the FBI?
The problem is that we cannot trust any agency of our government. We don't know who's behind it. Even some of the people in the agency don't know who's behind it and who's doing what. I was listening to Fox News on the way down the mountain, and they were talking about who's funding these people in Minneapolis. They're not there just by chance. They're well-funded. They have gear. They have whatever they need. Somebody's paying for it.
You think?
And the fact that the Mexican government itself is funding riots and things that are going on in the United States over immigration. They want problems with immigration because it's to their benefit to have immigration into this country.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, when we talk about state split and not being the only answer, because representation really is the only answer. I mean, we want voting. Well, we want voting that's true and clear. And we want that true and clear voting because of the fact that that's how we get our representation. You know, and I think that I really believe that now is the time, January 2026, that we get the counties moving forward. You know, the counties are going to have to stand up. I mean, the people in the counties have to stand up. You would hope that your sheriff would be behind you. And I think that, I don't think that Sheriff Johnson's a bad man.
No.
The whole deal is that these cameras are just surveillance. Just like, I mean, isn't that like, you know, not respecting the privacy that we have as citizens of the United States? That's sort of against the Constitution. How can you have these cameras out there? And for what reason, really? On an old dirt road, you're going to find a guy who, is doing what? And not only that, but just in the middle of town. You go through the middle of town, there's license plate readers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of Redding's had those for years. I can remember about 10 years ago we did a program on that. You and I did, Wendy.
Yeah.
And there was a young man who worked at the city
who
installed those, and he wasn't very happy about it.
No. Nope.
So, you know, and then again we go back to the concealed carry deal. Okay, we have to get permission from our sheriff to conceal carry. Well, I think if you conceal carry with our sheriff, and I think that people who conceal carry should talk to the sheriff about this because it's really for your own protection. Since the sheriff has issued you a concealed carry weapon, a concealed carry for your weapon, why can't he also issue you a 26150B2, which is an open carry permit, in counties less than 200,000?
Well, because they don't have a form, a piece of paper or a form to do it with. That's the story we've heard.
That's not what I heard. I heard that he doesn't want his officers to be bothered because people will see exposed weapons.
Well, this is a case in which both things are correct.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so, exactly right. And so you have these things going on, and they're excuses for training.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are training issues. These have nothing to do with your rights. Your rights are your rights. And these are all training issues, and the insanity of what's going on with our county, with all these different things. I mean, we really, $500,000 for cameras, I think that probably people that are more in the county and more in the country are probably, you know, the law-abiding citizens are probably more aware of their surroundings than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably have, I think they're very responsible citizens. If they see something that's out of whack, they're the ones who are going to have to do something with it.
That's right.
And
we've got Mark on the line.
We have Mark Baird on the line. I knew it'd get him fired up.
There we go. Good morning, Mark.
How are you doing?
How did you know I was even listening?
Spidey sense.
It's your duty.
So how did your event go on Thursday night? You spoke to a lot of folks
it was great. I mean, it was great. You know, everybody knows the issue, and everyone in the room was a contributor pretty much to the lawsuit. Not everyone, but pretty much everyone. But we had a couple of reporters from Sweden who showed up and listened to it and the speech for a while, and then they left. And all the patriots in Siskiyou County that come to the meeting heard, and you know, all are supportive. And there's nothing really that's uncomplicated about this issue. And that's what I was explaining to him. There is nothing that's uncomplicated, even according to California's logic. I mean, California's logic in San Diego v. Peruta, or Peruta v. San Diego, is that concealed carry isn't a right. States can ban it, permit it, do whatever they restrict it, do whatever they want with it. If there is a right under the Second Amendment, it's open carry. And the right doesn't require permission. And this is very interesting because there's a case in front of the Supreme Court, I believe the oral arguments were yesterday or the day before, Wolford v. Hawaii. This is very interesting. People need to take note of this case because it was a guy that was hiking on, he was hiking on private property that apparently has hiking trails open to the public. And he was open carrying while he was hiking for, I don't know, purposes of defense, and I don't know his logic, I don't care, it doesn't matter. And then some Karen saw him with his gun and ratted him out to the police, and they arrested him and confiscated his gun, and he sued. And so what the state of Hawaii is trying to allege is that if you carry a weapon for any purpose, concealed with a permit, open without a permit, no matter what, if you're carrying a weapon any place, you need to have not implied consent, but you need to have affirmative consent in order, in other words, you need to have affirmative, listen to this word, permission to wow. enter any private property, even private property where the public is allowed to go, like gas stations, convenience stores, grocery stores, churches, hospitals, things like that. Anything that's considered private property in Hawaii, the state alleges, you need permission to enter, okay? Well, the Supreme Court was, they weren't buying all that. You know, they're saying, okay, so why don't we just take this, you need permission, okay, this is very important. Why don't we take this, you need permission to exercise a Second Amendment right, okay, that sentence in, with a period at the end, why don't we take that to the First Amendment? So what we're saying now is if you're a Christian, you would need affirmative consent and permission to enter a gas station, and you'd need to get that permission before you entered. Or if you were a candidate for public office, you would need to get the homeowner's consent before you knocked on the door to ask them to vote for you. And they went on and on and on with these comparisons, and it was Alito, Roberts, Barrett, Kavanaugh, and Gorsuch that were making those questions to Hawaii's state's attorney. And, of course, the leftists were, oh, no, no, that's very common. You know, you need permission before you go anywhere. So the leftists are saying you need permission to exercise the Second Amendment, but the main body of the court is saying you don't need permission to exercise the Second Amendment right. It's a right guaranteed under the Constitution. Now, on private property, if someone posts a sign, no weapons allowed, and that sign is visible to you before you enter private property, well, then that does not affect your Second Amendment right. That's a property right, and you just go spend your money somewhere else. You know, it was like the mask during COVID. If the business had a sign on it, mask is required, well, you had a decision to make. It's a private property owner. They have property rights. And if they demand that you wear a mask before you enter, well, you have two choices. Put on the mask or go spend your money somewhere else.
No shoes, no shirt, no service.
Right. But you don't have the ability, or as a private property owner and as a member of the public, allowed to be on that private property for general purposes, buying things, selling things, whatever the business is, you don't have to get the owner of the business's permission prior to entry. That entry is assumed. A right to enter is assumed at a gas station. You're going there to buy gas. Well, the Second Amendment requires no permission. So why would you have to get permission of the property owner prior to entry? And what the Supreme Court did was they made my case. The Second Amendment requires no permission. The First Amendment requires no permission. They said probably five times the Second Amendment isn't a second-class right. Why would you have to get permission before you went on somebody's property? Well, here's my question. Why would you have to get permission from the government to exercise the Second Amendment if you don't need the permission of everybody in Hawaii before you step out your door and onto their property.
Can the federal government do anything to interpose in the issue of a constitutionally protected right when the state itself is denying you that? Can the federal government intervene?
Well, the federal government intervenes all the time and stuff like that, but their means of intervention is different, and it's limited, and sometimes it's non-existent, sometimes it's overly existent. It depends on what's going on and what that situation entails. Now, what they can do as a United States Department of Justice, they can certainly join the lawsuit in the affirmative. They could issue an amicus brief. They could send attorneys to advise our attorney. They could do all kinds of things. I don't know. I don't know whether this is really on their radar at the moment, and I don't know if they would do that. But that, those are things they could do, certainly.
You know, I think with the courts, just they don't even exist for the most part for our liberty and for interpreting the Constitution. And I know you ran into one. We both did in one particular case, a lot of us did, running into a judge that says the Constitution means what I say it means in my courtroom. I mean, that's a quote. So when you have situations like that, you know, I think we're all looking at here at this time, in history is we really need to start standing up. And yeah, we can go down with 10,000 people to the Sacramento and, you know, bring some body bags, because we'll have infiltrators, we'll have people from the deep state, we'll have the governor, who is just one of the most atrocious human beings that God's ever created, you know, usurping our constitutionally protected God-given rights. And, you know, I think we're all kind of just looking at, we're trying to look at something that's a solution, not more division and not more ideas, but sort of like, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you, Terry. But I mean, and part of the problem that the enemies of freedom and the enemies of God have is that they are not omniscient, they're not omnipresent. In fact, they're not even particularly smart people in very, very many cases, like Tampon Tim and Governor Newsom. You know, they're not particularly bright. They've been well funded. They have connected friends. They have people in their sphere of influence that are extremely bright. That's true, but their logic is flawed. And in this case, is particularly in the Second Amendment case, and in the Wolford case in Hawaii, and in the Bruin case, you know, they have developed an interwoven, overlapping morass of unimaginable depth and breadth in order to restrict, contain, ban, make the practice of an enumerated right so difficult, so onerous, so expensive, so time-consuming that people just won't do it. Okay, so we have that on the one hand. But then on the other hand, you have people like the lunatic who happened to somehow be elected as a Democrat in Arizona as the state's attorney general. And the state's attorney general says, oh, no, you can shoot an ICE officer as part of the Stand Your Ground laws. So, you know, and then in Minnesota, they now have a couple of idiots standing there with their AR-15s guarding the place where that guy was shot resisting arrest by ICE. So, you know, on the one hand, they don't want you to be armed. They want themselves to be armed. They're fine with their side being armed. They just don't want to apply the right equally. Well, in their zeal to somehow make the situation okay for them, no matter what the circumstances are, they've painted themselves into multiple corners. And that's how we can win, and that's how I intend to win this lawsuit, and I've already won it. In fact, if, you know, the state did appeal to the en banc, but the en banc hasn't taken the case yet, and we have till February 6th to submit our rebuttal to the state. And here's the other problem for the state. In their zeal to ban everything, they have created so many legal traps that have gone to the Supreme Court and gone against them, Heller, McDonald, Bruin, Nunn v. Georgia, and the like, that they now are forced to use logic that they pretend would win, and pre-Bruin, they did win with this logic, but they have created a situation for themselves to where now the very logic they love to use doesn't win and has already been expressly rejected by the Supreme Court. So here you have the Attorney General in Arizona saying, shoot ICE officers, and then on the other hand, you have the governor of California and his attorney general and his state's attorney arguing in court that the carry of a weapon will terrorize children and destabilize life in California. Well, how does the same side shoot out of both sides of their mouth and have that meet anywhere in the middle? Number one. And number two, all of the logic that they used in their opening brief to appeal to the en banc has already been expressly rejected by the Supreme Court. You can't use interest balancing. To quote Bruin, the Second Amendment is already the result of interest balancing between maintaining the rights of the people and the government's ability to govern. So you can't interest balance the interest balancing. You can't use public safety because you cannot take the rights from everyone in order to prevent criminals and idiots from misusing rights. You can't do that. That's from Bruin, McDonald, and Heller. The Second Amendment isn't a second-class right, requiring a different set of rules from all the rest. That's from Heller, quoted again in Bruin. So now the state of California has not only created a circuit split where the Ninth Circuit says open carry without permission, at least in counties over 200,000, I'll address that in a minute, is fine, but the Second Circuit said open carry is not part of the Second Amendment. Well, there's a circuit split. That's what the Supreme Court was designed to do, resolve circuit splits. And the Ninth Circuit, in their zeal to ban everything, has created an intra-circuit split. In other words, concealed carry is not a right. It's a permission. States can ban it, do whatever they want. If you're a fool enough to get a concealed carry permit, you're saying okay to all of it. But open, and the Ninth Circuit in San Diego v. Peruta says, if there is a right to the Second Amendment, it is open carry.
Yeah, so in now, the sentence, right. Go ahead.
Right. Now the state is appealing to the Ninth Circuit en banc to say, well, open carry isn't a right. Well, the Ninth Circuit's already ruled that if there is a right, it's open carry. So the Ninth Circuit would have to rule against itself in order to find in favor of the state. In other words, they painted this picture from which there's no escape. They're in the corner. It's 500 yards to the door, and there's wet red paint all around their feet.
Yeah, I mean, that's well said and absolutely correct. We're going to take a break right now so that we don't have to interrupt you. I really want to hear the last half of what happens to those of us under 200,000 counties, 200,000 people in a county, what happens to us. And so with that, we'll go ahead and take our break. Hang with us, Mark. Time has come.
For 51.
We're getting it done.
Amen.
Yeah,
they
do.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It's April, time for Redding's biggest event of the year, Cool April Nights, April 17th through the 26th. Haven't registered your car yet? Now is the time. Head over to CoolAprilNights.com to register and click on the full schedule of events. 10 days of fun with 50 show and shines, 3 concerts, and the iconic cruise, followed by the biggest car show of them all on April 25th. Mark your calendars, make your plans, and visit Cool April Nights to get those cars registered. Cool April Nights, it's more than a car show, it's a tradition.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Is the sound of one voice, one spirit, one voice, the sound of one who makes a choice. This is the sound of one voice, this is the sound of one. This is the sound of voices too. The sound of me singing with you, helping each other to make it through. This is the sound of voices.
Beautiful song. Beautiful song.
Just listen to that one.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm telling you. And listen to those words. Yeah, Sally's got a whole bunch of them. Thank you, baby. That's a good one. And she's got a whole bunch. Of, she's got one that people get old. That was one that she had.
Was that for you?
Yep.
I cannot relate.
Me neither. Anyway, it's a great... I mean, she just comes up with... She finds these things. It's just amazing how she does that. Anyway.
Well, I think the message that we are getting from Mark Baird is not that California's logic is flawed. It's that California's logic is non-existent.
It is non-existent.
Amen.
And, you know, we have to... You know, and that's why I'm tired of... We're all getting kind of tired of just trying to go down the same road with these crazy-ass people.
Yep.
You notice I got away with that because he thought it is just to delete me.
Push it. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and it's an okay one anyway, I think. Hey, but if we really wanted to use some four-letter words, we'd put it down because he's not sitting over there.
You could say a bunch of them real quick.
Oh, my gosh.
Janet, watch yourself.
Okay, here's my four-letter word. Woke. Woke.
Oh, too good.
All right, Mark.
Anyway, we digress. Go ahead, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I forgot where we were after that.
We were going to talk about those counties of less than 200,000.
Yes.
Where do we stand?
Well, there's an interesting distinction that was caused in the case by the Ninth Circuit panel. And what they did was they essentially split the decision into two categories. And the two categories are urban carry and rural carry. And that's kind of a funny distinction, but that's what they did. So, and they did that because Judge Mueller dismissed my as-applied claim to the fact that you can't get an open carry license anywhere in California. None has ever been issued. The licenses form don't exist, blah, 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 blah. And Judge Lee concurred in that when he said there's no, you know, California admits that they have no record of any open carry license ever being awarded. And in addition to that, California by penal code is the keeper of the records. So if they don't have any records, that means there wasn't any. And California is saying, well, just because we don't have any records doesn't mean there wasn't any. Well, and see here, but see here again. Here's the logic that Democrats use all the time, and they do it successfully. Okay, now think this out logically. By penal statute, we are required to keep records on all weapons permits issued in the state of California. And the penal code directly says the issuing agent shall immediately forward the permit, the application, and the fee, that's the most important part, to DOJ. Okay, so if they're by law bound to get every single application and every single permit that's ever issued in California regarding weapons, and they don't have any, but then they say, well, just because we don't have any doesn't mean there isn't any. So it's a circular logic, and you know, they paint themselves into a corner again. They have to have control. It is in their nature. It's in their blood. They want to control you. They want to control everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, everything you buy, where you buy it, how far you go to buy it, what kind of car you have, what kind of lawnmower you have. But then they say, well, just because we don't have any records of lawnmower sales doesn't mean there isn't any. You know.
Well, it sounds like everything's upside down. Right?
Well,
everything's
upside
down.
Inverted.
Yes, it's absolutely inverted. It should be the people in control and not the government and not the representatives.
Well,
answer to us.
Who should be in control in California? We the people
we
of
the
state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom to secure and perpetuate its blessings. We establish this Constitution.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So you know, I'm not even going to talk about how we got here from there because we did through our own inattention and so on. But
right.
Here we are now. And we are the people. It mentioned in Article 1, Section 1, Article 2, Section 1, and so on. We are the only ones that have it within our power to change this. And if we band together, if we do things legally, morally, and ethically, we cannot fail because the Lord will help us if we do it in a way in which He approves.
And, yeah, exactly.
And
if it's
that's
His
what
will.
We're doing.
Right. But the thing is that morally, legally, and ethically, the thing is that they just don't pay any attention to us. They don't, and legally,
well,
what is, how do you even attempt in the state of California to do something legally? I mean, if you do it legally.
It's easy. You just have to know the rules because they don't. They don't even read their own rules.
They don't even
know what their own rules are. Let me point out something. They didn't even know that they had to keep all those records, and so they claimed, that doesn't mean anything.
Because they don't even know.
So we win with their own logic. We win with their own process. We win by knowing the rules.
When are we going to win, and where?
That's my question.
Well, I won 10 days ago. We're waiting for the mandate to issue, or we're waiting for the en banc to take the case, and they may not. They may not take it, because even though the people who govern this state are about as dumb as a rock, some people associated with the courts are not that stupid. So here they are looking at a case where the opening brief the state had to ask them to take this case en banc, the first page of that brief is filled with logic that has already been expressly rejected by the Supreme Court. So for the en banc to take that, they are going to take on the Supreme Court directly. Okay, just keep that in mind.
Good luck.
Keep that in mind. They may not want to do that. They may, but they may not. But then again, if they fail to take the case, and here's a bigger problem for California. California has proven themselves an outlier in almost every way. They're not only an outlier in the United States in general, where 45 states have some type of open carry, not perfect, admittedly, but they still have it. And 30 states have constitutional carry. And we use that term in court. Well, if it's not constitutional, why does everybody use the term constitutional carry? And the state goes, I don't know. The thing is, they even have to lie because the evidence is so plain, but yet if they admit that that's the evidence, then they're going to lose. Right. If they admit the truth, they're going to lose. So they have to lie about things that they really shouldn't even have to lie about because their position is so stupid and ridiculous. They're forced into these ridiculous statements that they make. Okay, so if the en banc takes a look at this, 30 states have constitutional carry. 45 states have some provision for open carry, whether that's with a permit or whatever. And California is one of the states that has banned the Second Amendment, which, according to their own Ninth Circuit, is the only right covered by the Second Amendment. Okay, so they banned the Second Amendment. Their own circuit admits that they banned it in Peruta v. San Diego. And they're an outlier in the nation, but get this, they're also an outlier in their own circuit. Because 11 states in the Ninth Circuit, 9 of them already have constitutional carry. So California's Ninth Circuit, because they own the Ninth Circuit pretty much, they get one out of it generally. There are good judges there. Van Dyke and Lee are two of the best, and thank you, Lord, for giving me those two judges on my panel.
Right.
But for the most part, they're leftists numerically, and so they're outliers in their own circuit. There are only 2 states in their own circuit that don't have open carry. Well, there has got to be some idiot there that says, hey, wait a minute, guys. If we insist on this and we overturn Bruin, essentially, and overturn Heller, McDonald, Citano, Nunn v. Georgia, and all the rest of the cases that affirm what this guy is alleging, and it goes to the Supreme Court, which it will, we're going to apply for cert, and with a circuit split and an intra-circuit split where the Ninth Circuit has ruled against itself, in essence, just like Judge Mueller did on with the three-judge panel thing, then the Supreme Court is bloody likely to take this case. There are good odds here. Well, if they do that and they lose, the entire nation will have constitutional carry. How do you think the Democrat base is going to accept that? Even though some of them are arguing for picking up weapons and shooting ICE agents, but then others of them say, oh, no, you can't have a gun. But then some of them say, well, you can't have a gun, but we can have them because we need to resist ICE, I mean, in other words, they're imploding, guys. They're literally imploding. Their own logic is the death of them. So they may not take the case, and the mandate may issue.
So how long, what's the time frame on that guesstimation on your part?
Our rebuttal to their brief, and our rebuttal needs to be good. This needs to be our best work. It's not that we're rebutting to the en banc. We are telegraphing our arguments to the United States Supreme Court, and believe me, they are aware of this case.
Yes.
Okay, so
again, our rebuttal will be filed the last day because it has to be the best paper we've ever put out. And if we can do that, and with Lord's help we will, then the en banc will read that rebuttal and hopefully one of the idiots there will say, guys, this don't look very good for us. Why don't we take the loss and let the California legislature shoulder the burden for trying to stifle the rights of the people?
So then, does that mean it's going to be done in February sometime,
It will be known in February whether the en banc is taking the case or not.
And okay. If they don't take it, then it is what?
If they don't take it, then the mandate issues, and we have open carry in the state of California for counties of more than 200,000 people.
So does that mean when the en banc doesn't go through, is there like a form or something stamped saying we're not taking it, we're not moving forward, then immediately thereafter is when we have constitutional carry in the state of California?
Now, let's say the en banc decides not to take the case.
Right.
Okay? At that point, the three-judge panel issues the mandate on their ruling, it's a done deal. Now, they will order the lower court to reverse and award me the win, but once the mandate's issued, it's done.
Okay.
Okay,
well, we're
so
pray for that.
So
big
on
time.
Okay, so on.
But now, here's the other side of that. Okay. The California legislature, being liars and crooks and among the dumber people that we've come across in this thing, and I say dumb with a passion because they're the ones that have crisscrossed these laws into an unimaginable trap from which they have no escape. You know, they have to fall because their logic runs into itself. They argue against themselves. They, you know, but what they will do, no doubt, is they'll turn the lights on 24 hours a day and try to find ways to say, oh, well, you can carry openly without a permit as long as you're wearing pink pajamas and you're riding a giraffe, you know. I mean, well, you know that's what they'll do because
exactly.
They're California. But but at that point, we have liberty, and at that point, we can resist.
Okay.
See, a lot of these things are a done deal, right? You know, they've been done for 10 years. We used to have constitutional carry. In fact, the state of California claims that children will be terrorized and ordinary life will be impossible. Well, it wasn't impossible 13 years ago when we had open carry. It's not impossible in the 45 states that have open carry now. It's not even impossible in the 9 states within the 9th Circuit that have open carry. Children, I've never read a story about children being terrorized. I've never read a story about ordinary life being impossible in 45 states because people open carry.
We just got a call, people are wanting to know your address and how we can help you financially. Just had a note handed to me by Alex. So,
when would you give out the pecan address and then I'll give out the website?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to send a check to support Mark's Second Amendment case, on the check, address it to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, and then in the memo portion of the check, the lower left part of it, put 2A, and then you can mail it to the following address at 1304 East Street, E-A-S-T, East Street, Suite 110, Redding, California, 96001.
Can you repeat that again, buddy?
Sure. Make out the check to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, and then put in the memo, 2A, for the Second Amendment case, and then mail the check to 1304 East Street, E-A-S-T, East Street, Suite 110, Redding, California, 96001.
And then the website is to keep and bear, all lowercase, T-O-K-E-E-P, ANDBEAR.com, and there is a donate button on that website if you prefer to use a credit card. And the money goes straight to Pecan. And I want everybody to know, I don't touch the money. I don't even know what bank the money's in. 100% of what you donate, 100% goes to the attorney who has helped me with this for the last 7.5 years. And believe me, the expensive part of this is just about to get started. So please, if you can't afford to, I'd appreciate your prayers. And if you can afford a few bucks, we sure need the help.
And can you repeat that address one more time, the email? Go ahead, buddy. One more time.
The email is tokeepandbear.com. TOKEEPANDBEAR.com. All lowercase, no spaces. And you'll find a donate button on the website. And, you know, give what you can afford, because I also want to say that aside from the Shasta chapter of CRPA, none of the gun orgs have helped us. The Shasta chapter of the CRPA has taken upon itself to give to us very generously. And I mean very generously. I don't want to embarrass anybody by saying how much, but it was a lot. And they've helped us immensely. I'm going to speak at the luncheon they have down there coming up pretty soon. And
Down where, Mark?
It's in Redding. It's something CW Grubbs or something like that.
CR Kids. But CW Grubbs is pretty good. CR Kids.
Yeah,
you can press the donut button.
Yeah,
you can press the donut button. There you go.
Anyways, there's there's going to be a luncheon down there, and I don't remember the date, and I don't have my calendar sitting here, but I'll get Terry that information. You might already have it. I don't know. And I welcome people to please go, you know, call up call David and get a ticket and go, or I don't think it demands a ticket, but tell them that you're coming so that they can head count for the meal.
Yep.
And, you know, if you want to hear all about this, come and listen.
You know, and so, I think, go ahead.
But we're, so let's just tap 26, 150 and 155. California renumbered all that, so it's now 26, 150 and 155 C2. Because California lost another case because they denied, their permitting scheme to people who lived out of state. So they lost that case. They're losing these cases at the Supreme Court level again and again and again and again. And, so now people who live out of state can apply for a California concealed weapons permit under 26150 B2, and the open carry permit is now C2. But people who live out of state have to jump through every single hoop. They'd have to make 10 trips here in order to get one, and that's by design, and no one will want to do it because it's too much trouble and too expensive.
I have a family member who just did it.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yep.
Welcome to the club.
Just so
it's possible, it's just a pain.
Yeah, but it was worth it so this family member could legally carry.
And
he went through, he jumped through the hoops, he did everything he was supposed to do, and he is now permitted within the state of California, even though he does not live in California.
And he can permit in all the other states with that permit as well.
Yeah.
Because that's the interesting thing, too. I hold permits in multiple other states, but in order to get those permits as a California resident, you have to have a California permit. You can't just go in and get it. You have to have a permit from your, according to California and according to the California permit requirements, I have to have a permit from California before I can go to, say, Oregon or Utah, Arizona, whatever.
Well, look, Wynn, if you're asking for a parole in other states, they want you to be a parolee in the state you live in.
That's right. That's right.
That just kind of makes sense. Or otherwise, you're an escapee, and they don't want anything to do with you. But remember, concealed carry is not a right.
Correct.
So if you want to beg permission from the government, you're free to do it. I don't want to talk to you about tactically superior or any of that stuff because it doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what the arguments are. Someday we'll have a town hall and I'll debate somebody about that. But for right now, I don't really care. What I want is to exercise a pre-governmental, God-given, inalienable right to defend myself, my family, my state, my community, and my nation.
I've got
and
a question.
I have that right.
Okay,
yes.
I have a question from someone who just called in. Are smaller counties allowed to carry if there is no en banc? If there is no en banc, will they be allowed to? Will the smaller counties be allowed to carry like everybody else?
Well, goodness, why don't we think about that for a second? 26150 C2. Is the process to get a permit to openly carry in small counties. What are the criminal statutes under 26150 for failing to get a permit?
Yeah, okay, well, that's why the...
Well, there aren't any. Well, there aren't any.
There aren't any.
There aren't any.
Well, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a permit to openly carry.
Right.
In fact, no one has a permit to openly carry. They can't arrest you for not getting that permit.
Because there isn't.
So think about this. If 25850 is stricken, that's the criminal penalty for openly carrying a weapon anywhere in California.
I hope that answered the person's question. It sounds to me like it did. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So if the criminal statutes are removed for openly carrying a loaded weapon, who cares about the permit?
Are they calling in with questions on 530-605-4565? Is that what they're doing?
66.
66.
I think it kicks them over to the other line.
It kicks them over to 66. Okay, so we do have an issue here with the phones, folks. We'd love to have you call in your questions, but if you have a question, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. If you've got a question for Mark, Alex will do his due diligence and get it to Mark. So go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. So quite frankly, there are no criminal penalties for failing to get a permit, and the sheriff isn't going to give you one anyway, even though this is a shall issue state, which is another box that that California's painted itself into. Because any time your enumerated rights are in the hands of an individual, well, gee, guess what can happen? He could, if you're asking permission, he could say no. He could ignore you. He could charge you more money than you have. He could make the training requirements so difficult that you can't possibly pass them. Or what they did in Santa Clara and Los Angeles counties, they could say, well, if you give $10,000 to my campaign, I'll give you a permit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Extortion. That's yeah. Extortion right there.
So, yeah. So what is the legitimate way to refrain, restrict, or alter an enumerated right? Isn't it Article 5 of the United States Constitution?
Yeah.
Okay, so why doesn't California do that? If they want...
Because they don't follow the Constitution.
Well, no, it's even worse than that for
it
them.
It is worse
because
than that.
If states want to restrict an enumerated right, and once again, the Second Amendment is not a second-class right, and really, I urge everybody to listen to the oral arguments in Wolford v. Hawaii, because the justices make the attorneys in Hawaii look like monkeys. And the California attorneys are no better, and they're no better off, quite frankly, with their argument. So if you want to change an enumerated right to allow for permits, to allow for sensitive places, to allow for any other BS that states want to do to strip you of your rights, they have the ability to do that. Anybody does. It's called Article 5 of the United States Constitution, which details the method through which the Constitution can be changed. Because the Second Amendment, people say, well, is that according to Second Amendment law? The Second Amendment isn't a law. It is an amendment which makes it a full part of the Constitution, the same as Article 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, or Article 1. The Bill of Rights is as much a part of the Constitution as Article 3 that created the courts. So why don't we just get together and have an initiative that California won't have any federal courts? Because that would violate the Constitution. There's only one way to change Article 3, and that's through Article 5. But states don't do that. Do you know why? Because they wouldn't win. Do you think that they could actually get three-quarters of the states and two-thirds of the legislature to agree to strip people of the Second Amendment when 30 states have constitutional carry? It won't happen, and they know it. So they lie and they use subterfuge with judges that they own and pay for, and they use that to strip the people of their God-given rights, and I say enough is enough.
Me too.
Amen, brother.
Then help me.
Yes.
We are.
Please, everybody help and share with your friends, share with your enemies.
Share this program.
We need to share all this information, especially the part where you can contribute and help Mark out with the court case to pay for the attorney fees. And it's not just the fees that the attorney charges. There's court filings that have to be paid for, all that kind of stuff. So, and then the attorney who lives on the East Coast has to come out to the West Coast in order to be in front of the court. So that... There's travel expenses there as well. It's not just paying a fee, an hourly rate. There are a lot of hard expenses that go into fighting this case.
Which is another story in itself as to why do we have a New York attorney helping with a California case?
Because we couldn't get one
because
in California.
Tell you what.
She's awesome.
I can answer that question.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to go to this luncheon, you can email David Schoenhoff, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his letter. Schaffner, I think it is. Email David at schoffner.com and ask him how to get into this luncheon.
Dave Schaffner,
that's David. Yeah, David at davidschaffner.com. And he has, I don't want to give out his phone number because I don't want him to be inundated. That's not nice. But that's his email address, so email him and get a ticket to this thing if you want to hear me yap on incessantly about this deal. And apparently, there are supposed to be a few supervisors that are coming to this. I think that's great. I wish the sheriff would show up to it. He probably needs to hear this, too, but I doubt he would.
Yeah. That's for a whole other program that we're going to talk to you about, these sheriffs. Anyway, we have probably a minute and a half left.
Mm-hmm.
And counting. Mark, any last words? Got about a minute, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, the last word on this is this is a case that is going all the way, and we will win it. I mean, we'll win either at the en banc level or we'll win at the Supreme Court level. California has literally painted itself into a corner. There's no escape. Their logic is already in print, already on paper, already been argued. I was very
the
surprised.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.